Acts 10, come with me. I want to talk to you this morning about the desire. The title of my message is this, Dave, because you always ask me. Desire the Holy Spirit to do things unexpectedly. Desire the Holy Spirit to do things unexpectedly. Who knows that God works in mysterious ways? Sometimes it's like, I never expected that. But we can be in the zone so that we can expect anything. That's what I'm getting at this morning. And so desire the Holy Spirit to do things unexpectedly. And I'm talking about taking risks. This is our second week in the series Take a Risk. And so in Acts, there's a really interesting story. Come with me to Acts chapter 10, AJ. Acts 10, New Living Translation. It says in Acts 10 verse 9, in the New Living Translation, Acts 10 verse 9. The next day, this is, as Cornelius is, and I'll talk about this story in a moment. The next day, as Cornelius' messengers were nearing the city, Peter went up to the flat roof to pray. What did Peter go up to the roof to do? Pray. One of the greatest weapons we have against the enemy, one of the greatest tools at our disposal is prayer. We've got to be in an atmosphere where we take some time. So I think it's about noon or 3 o'clock, and he went up onto the roof to pray, which was pretty common in those in their culture. They do that in about 3 or 4 hour intervals, and so he went up to the roof and he was praying. At the same time, there's Cornelius, but Cornelius is not of the Jewish faith, if you like. He's a Gentile. And at this stage, the Jews thought that God only wanted people from their tribe, their culture, to have everything that the Lord had for them. But we know now that God wants everybody to be included in the kingdom of God. And I'm going to talk about that a little bit this morning. And so here's Cornelius. And the interesting thing about Cornelius is that he's praying to the God of Israel, the Bible says. So here's a man that actually has some sort of relationship, definitely, because you don't just pray if you don't have relationship. So he's praying and obviously has experienced some sort of recognition or connection with God. The next thing he knows, an angel from heaven comes down as a bright, shining man, it says, glowing, looking at him and saying, this is what I want you to do. I want you to send your messengers and go and get Peter, who's in the next town, and get him to come back. And I want him to come to your place. And so, because of the incredible power of that situation, and this visitation, he thought, well, this must be God. This must be something that I want to pay attention to. If God visits us, we must pay attention. When God visits us, we've got to stay in that zone and allow God to do what he needs to do for our lives. He wants to speak to us. So when God visits us in church, when we feel his presence on our lives, just thank God. And maybe he's got something more that he wants from you or for you to do that actually brings more purpose to your life than you had before that moment. His presence is real. And so he sends for the guys to go down, Cornelius, down to see Peter, who was staying at a fisherman's house. And Cornelius was unusual. He hadn't had any Christians lay hands on him. He was a Gentile, so it wasn't going to happen anyway in that sense at this stage. He hadn't been baptized in water. But the fact was that he'd made this connection to God. And Peter, as he goes up onto the roof, has an incredible vision. And he sees all the animals on a sheet, as it were. He sees reptiles. You know, so I'm guessing there's like snakes and what do we got here in Australia? Bobtail lizards and those big, what are they called? Those ones up north. Well, yeah, crocodiles. And then those big, what are they called? Help me out here. Those ones with the big... Yeah, those big Komodo... No, we don't have Komodos here, do we? No, we don't have Komodos here. That's not far. Anyway, you know what I mean. There's lots of reptiles. And then there's all these other animals and they're all together. And it seems really weird because they're kind of getting along. And what's this about, he thinks to himself. And at that very moment, knock, knock, knock on the door. His servants go and get him off. Well, the people in the house that he was staying at go and say, Pete, there's people at the door here for you. And he goes, my master, Cornelius, who's a Roman, has just said, will you come? And they're kind of feeling right, kind of weird, because you just don't even go to a Jewish house. It's not done. And then to ask for Peter to go to a Gentile house, well, that's just the worst of the worst. It's just not done. But Peter had this vision. And so he decides that he'd take the day journey to go. Let's just read it so that we've got it clear. Go to verse 11 of chapter 10. He saw the sky open, and something like a large sheet was let down before its four corners. In the sheets were all sorts of animals, reptiles, birds, etc. And then a voice said to him, "Get up, Peter, kill and eat them." And he says in verse 40, "Never, Lord," Peter declared. "I've never in my life eaten anything forbidden by our Jewish laws." All right. Now, I want to tell you a story. I like, those of my family know this more so than you, because I probably haven't talked about it much, but I love nature documentaries. I really enjoy anything to do with nature documentaries. And so every now and then I'll watch a documentary on the television. I don't have Foxtel. If I had Foxtel, I'd probably watch a lot more of those type of shows. So I bet you didn't know. I like animals. I really do. I even like cats. it's interesting because there's this documentary. Cape York Peninsula, that's the pointy bit at the top of the right hand of Australia, okay? Cape York Peninsula. Every year for about 2 months, approximately 40 crocodiles leave the Cape York Peninsula and they swim across the ocean for at least 80 kilometres until they reach Crab Island. Has anyone heard of Crab Island before? Nobody. Has anyone seen the documentary? Budgie, did you like it? It was very cool. So I'm going to tell you a little bit more about it this morning. And these crocodiles, they swim a couple of days, I think it is. They're quite good swimmers, as it turns out. And these 40 crocs end up on Crab Island. And there's sharks at this island at this time of the year. And there's also a flat-backed turtle in huge numbers. And these flat-back turtles, they come in, they lay their eggs, they've got to get past the crocodiles that are now sitting on the beach, and the birds, there's birds around as well, and there's lots of different types of sharks just cruising the inner shoreline. It's not inhabited, this island. And the crocs sit and wait. And so sometimes they're fighting it out, the sharks and the crocodiles generally win, it seems. They beat the sharks. That's pretty, there you go. And they get a feed of some of the turtles that are trying to make it back out. These are the grown turtles. But then once the hatchlings are laid, there's thousands, and there's probably millions actually, of these hatchlings that are laid. And you know those little turtles, and they've got to crawl back, don't they? And you think, how do they ever get back to the ocean and ever become a big turtle? You ever thought that? How the heck? How do they do that? And so, anyway, these crocodiles, they just kind of sit on the beach and they just kind of help themselves to all the ones that are coming past. Now, I'm going to tell you more about this story in a little while. Back to the Bible. Okay. Acts 10 verse 15. Peter's seen this vision and the voice from heaven says very distinctly and clearly, if God says something is acceptable, don't say it isn't. If God says what? Something is acceptable, don't say it isn't. And so right there is, as Christians, any prejudice that we have, God doesn't have it. Any racial dispute, God doesn't have it. Any color difference or white supremacist or anything like that, God doesn't have it. God actually sees every human being as completely the same as you and I. How awesome is that? There is no difference whatsoever. And I want to explain this a little bit as we go along this morning in the next 15 or so minutes. Number one, God accepts every human being unconditionally. He accepts you unconditionally. Some of you need to hear this. God accepts you unconditionally. He loves you. He sent his son to die for you. He loves you so much. No human being is common or unclean. None is to be spurned, shunned, rejected, despised because of his ethnic origin or race or culture or physical traits. In fact, in Acts 10:35, it says, in every nation, he accepts those who fear him and do what is right. There is little doubt God was setting Cornelius up for more. He was not going to be alone for much longer in his quest for God. He was going to have others around him. He was about to become a part of the church of Jesus Christ and the kingdom of God and to show that everyone together formed the kingdom of God. And I just love this passage of scripture in so many ways. So one, he accepts you unconditionally. Second, he accepts others unconditionally. Next time you see something happen, you think, oh, God accepts them. God accepts murderers in prison. Yes? Well, I know we find this very difficult because of the way we're made up. But God's love doesn't see what we see. And really, that's the incredible thing about our salvation, isn't it? It's hard for me to say, but he accepts rapists too. There is nothing that God's love can't do for a human being. Yes? Nothing. You see, a man rung the front doorbell, and I happened to be here early one morning, and maybe I should come more often in the morning after this experience, which I'm about to share with you. And he was in his... He was retirement age, but he was still an author. He was writing books, and he'd actually driven from quite a way down south, and we're the first church that he actually saw along the way, and he stopped in. And the door was locked because I think it was a lot earlier than when people normally come the office hours. And I came down, and I said hello, and, you know, I would say in his mid-70s, and he'd had a lot of success, but he'd actually, won't go into details, but he'd been in prison for about 6 or 7 days. And in that time, he started praying again because he'd been in Sunday school years and years and years and years ago. And he was on a journey back to God and really wanted to receive the Holy Spirit. So, of course, I prayed with this elderly man. And I prayed that God would do some amazing things with the trial and things. He didn't go into a huge detail of the pending trial and things. But he just knew he needed to get back right with God. It was a moment. Now, I didn't set that up. God set that up with that man. Are you hearing me this morning? There are people that God sets up. Or people that God has set up from a long time ago and wants to draw them back to God. And so God's in this good news reaching out. And when there is God's done that, we must, when there's an opportunity, share good news. Because it's our good news that is transformational. As we prayed, he says, I know I'm feeling better. In fact, I gave him a book on the Holy Spirit by Phil Pringle because Helen had come in by that stage and he was on his way feeling a lot better. In Acts 10:28, Peter's now gone to Cornelius' house. Cornelius has bowed down before Peter because he thought that was the right thing to do, because that's certainly what you would have done, I think, in the Roman culture, in like a regiment situation. And Peter goes, get up, mate. I'm just Australian now. Just get up. Hey, you and me, we're brothers. We're the same. There's no difference. God treats us equally. And he told him about the vision that he'd had. And they shared stories together. And I'm sure Cornelius would have shared how God had visited him a few times. And then Peter would have told one of his stories, because, you know, stories always build faith. And so Peter would have gone, you know what, not that long ago, you know, I was going into the temple with one of my mates, and I grabbed this guy and brought him to his feet, and immediately he started to run. Thanks, Shane. His legs and everything, he'd been crippled from all his life, and he was healed. Jesus is real. That's good news. And so when we have good news on our lips, what's it for? Is it just for us? What's good news for? To share around, we've got to share good news. You know, I'm looking forward to seeing people that actually hear our stories. You know, this week I was at the gymnasium, and my friend, the signwriter man, I invited him. I said, "How are you out coming to church?" He goes, "What? When?" And I said, "The 15th of December. Will you come Sunday, the 15th of December? Come, bring your partner. Come to church." Okay, I'll think about that one. And you know what? I've got time. All I'm doing is setting this up to have an... We're good friends already. I can have a barbecue with this guy. It's not an issue. It's like we're mates. So something's got to happen in our lives. So all I've been doing is sharing some of the good news stories. But he knows Jesus is real because I've already prayed for him a few times. And God's miraculously changed him. All of us have good news that we can share. All of us. Acts 10:36. I'm sure you have heard about the good news for the people of Israel, that there is peace with God through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. Now, this is the part about Crab Island and the crocodiles and the sharks and everything else that just amazed me. Have you ever heard of two crocodiles getting along? Crocodiles don't get along. When they're in their normal habitat, let's take Cape York Peninsula where they came from, they have about a 200-meter piece of river, and they're territorial. They guard it, and the biggest male wins, and that's their patch. That's their fishing ground, their hunting ground. If a stray goat goes in there, that's theirs. Nothing really gets in its way. But something very different happens when they venture out to Crab Island. There's only about 40 crocs that do this regularly every year. When they go to Crab Island, it's like they're all friends. It's the most amazing thing. They're on the beach, and they're like helping one another, so that when the little hatchlings come towards them, they kind of herd them up, and they're not fighting one another. They just don't want the sharks to get them, but they're helping one another to have a good feed. it's the most incredible thing in nature that they've just found out. I can see you all as excited as I am about this. And I'm gonna explain a little bit more about it in a little while. But the point is, you see, the Holy Spirit's mission, where was I? That's right. Even at times, they'd show affection towards one another on this island. It was like croc heaven. It was the most amazing thing. They didn't have to fight for their food any longer. They knew there was plenty. They got along. They even swam together to another section of when that area was kind of like there's no more hatchlings there, and all did the same thing all over again. You see, it seems like it couldn't be possible, but Jesus is Lord of all. Say it with me, Jesus is Lord of all. He can bring peace even where it seems just unfathomable. He can bring peace to crocodiles. Have you ever heard of such a thing? Acts 10:38. And no doubt you know that God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. Then Jesus went around doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. See, the Holy Spirit comes to glorify the Son of God. And when the Holy Spirit is most likely to come, let me ask you, when is the Holy Spirit most likely to come? When we have good news on our lips and we're glorifying Jesus, right? When Jesus is Lord of all, the Holy Spirit's there. And so, in Acts 10:44, it says this. Now, in context, and I'll finish this. In the context of this amazing chapter, Peter's had a massive revelation that changes his whole idea and concept of what God is and who, and that God is for everyone through this, all these animals getting along together. Cornelius, at the same time, has been praying to the God of Israel, the Lord Jesus Christ, obviously, and he's now they're together, and they've both heard great news about what God's been doing in their separate lives. And Peter's like, well, I know it's true because I've had this vision from God himself as I was praying. And Cornelius, you've had the same vision to go and get me. I know this is God. And then, without any, they were just like, they'd shared good news. Look what happens next. And I want to show you something before we finish today about why this is so vital. In chapter 10 and verse 44, let's read it in the New Living Translation. Even as Peter was saying these things, all right, so he's sharing good news, the Holy Spirit fell upon all who had heard the message. The Jewish believers who came with Peter were amazed that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out upon the Gentiles too. And there could be no doubt about it, for they heard them speaking in tongues and praising God. Then Peter asked, "Can anyone object to them being baptized now that they have received the Holy Spirit just as we did?" So he gave orders for them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, and Cornelius and Peter hung out together for a little while. The Holy Spirit is for everyone. The Holy Spirit is for who? Everyone. Now, the reason why, even though it seemed highly improbable back in the day, even though it's highly improbable that crocodiles could get along, you never underestimate what God wants to do and how he wants us to get along with one another and how the Holy Spirit unites us. What unites us? The Holy Spirit unites us. The Holy Spirit actually allows the love of God to come in greater measure into our lives, yes? And so the reason that it was done back to front on this occasion in the sense that they hadn't been baptized, was because God wanted to show the Christians for all time, not just in that time, that the Holy Spirit and what God wanted was for every human being. And so he reversed the order, because nothing needs to stay the same in God's book. He can do whatever he likes. And when God moves, it's a powerful thing. And God wanted them to receive the Holy Spirit, be baptized in the Holy Spirit. And it was definitely for sure, because what does the Bible say? They started speaking in. There was no doubt about it. And then they were baptized. Who'd like the Holy Spirit to do things unexpectedly in their life? If the Holy Spirit can show us through a passage of Scripture like this that things can be so unexpected. You know, they reckon there's so many animals in the sea that still haven't been found because God's just amazing. But if crocodiles can get along, I think that's pretty amazing, don't you? Now they swim back and they start being territorial again, 2 months later. But if crocodiles can get along, what does that tell you about you and I and the purposes that we have for one another? We are on this earth designed and been baptized with the Holy Spirit because we actually get a sweeter spirit for other people. That we actually care about other people and what's going on in their lives. We want others to be changed. God wants others to be changed, but he can't do it, but he uses us as vessels. We have so much good news and we take it for granted too much of the time. Let's start taking risks. Let's start crossing that chicken line. God doesn't want for us to be territorial. And we live in this Western world, and I think this is where we learn from a lot of other cultures. Our garage door goes down and we might not say boo to the neighbour. We're having a street party this year on our street. I'm looking forward to actually hanging out and meeting every neighbour. I've met some of them. It's an opportunity. It's an opportunity. They probably think, well, you know, I know what that guy does. And I can be real. You know, I start telling them a few stories about diving or surfing. You go out there with the sharks? Yep. Yeah, I risk my life. I was out there last weekend, actually. I was with two grey nurse sharks, just over a 3-metre grey nurse shark. He eyeballed me. I was about this close to it, like this. And he looked at me and I looked at him. That was pretty cool. I enjoyed the experience. I would not do that with a white pointer. Just to let you know. Okay, so tragic what happened yesterday. Are you ready to trust Jesus? Come on, church. Are you ready to trust Jesus and make him real for people? Because if you don't know Jesus today, well, first of all, he accepts you unconditionally, doesn't he? Even good to say it to ourselves, God accepts us as we are. Are you ready to tell good news of your walk with him? Are we ready to do that together as a church? Let's keep saying and telling good news. Are you ready to receive the Holy Spirit and glorify Jesus? I've been saying it all along, because Acts, you can't help it. The Holy Spirit's all through the book. The Holy Spirit's, he's not weird. He actually helps us get along better. Now, I don't know, and they haven't found out, why only some of these crocodiles make the huge trek, and it's quite a risk for their life to cross that amount of ocean to get to this crab island. It's a mystery. There's things about God likewise that we're never going to know. But as we just trust that God, if God can do something so miraculous, And we continue to put our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and allow the Holy Spirit just to come alongside. And I know we're all at different levels, but we can just say, Lord, yeah, I'd love more of your Holy Spirit. And start a journey. And allow the Holy Spirit to grow in your life. Now, if we've been baptized in the Holy Spirit and we're speaking in tongues, and yet our attitude always stinks, and we're always grumpy, and we've always got issues, we're always negative all the time, then I think we need to actually spend a moment and go, Lord, forgive me and the people that I've hurt. Because if crocodiles can get along together and even have some fun together, they roll over onto their tummies and allow it on this island, and they're stroking one another just for a bit of fun. This is the church. The church gets along. And there's lots of churches I know. We should get along with the churches as well. Because we're all going to the same place. And if crocodiles can have heaven on earth, then why can't we? Hey? Why can't we enjoy God? Why can't we enjoy Him for all He's given us? Let's pray. Father, I pray today. Lord, as this chapter is really a lot about reconciliation and just what you have for our lives. Lord, I pray that we will receive of your Holy Spirit. Father, and I pray you'd help us to get along. Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit would move along in families, Father. Between fathers and sons and daughters, between mums and families, Father, Lord, represented here, and Lord, even extended families, I pray, Father, that this, it's just over 4 weeks till Christmas, Lord, I pray, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would make the difference this year in families. And those that don't have family, I thank you that we have the family of God. Lord, you purpose for there to be a church, so that we could all have someone in our world. And Lord, I thank you that we never have to do things alone. And you proved it through Cornelius, Father. You want us to hang out together and enjoy one another, regardless of where we've come from, where we're going, what we're doing. You love us. And we thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. People of God said, Amen.